Almost to me. There we go. Man, what an amazing work that God is doing in our students. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Charles, one of the pastors here, and I'm going to have a few guests come up with me. I'm going to move some cables here so we don't short-circuit anything and start a fire. So, no, put it right here in the middle. Put it right there in the middle. We'll all sit together. There you go. We're going to make this kind of casual, a little bit different from last service, so... I'd like to introduce my guests here, and so this is Banner, so introduce yourself and tell them just a little bit about yourself and how old you are, and we'll get to some of your mission stuff you're going to do later.
Yeah, so I'm Banner. I am 17 years old, and I just got back from my third year at Project Timothy, and yeah.
I think your sister, you did 4 years, Ruby, right? Where's Ruby? Yeah, she did 4 years. She did 4 years. So you got 3 years. You're not going to get the fourth year in. No, sorry. But, you know, it is where you can jump in at any point. So do that. And so this is our friend JL. So you can pass her the mic a little bit. Just introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm JL. This was my first year of Project Timothy.
And how old are you?
I'm 14. I just finished middle school.
Finished middle, going into ninth grade?
Yes.
Wow, okay, so great. So obviously you didn't see them on the videos, and we wanted to kind of just talk a little bit about with them about some of their plans. But when we look at the, you can pass that back to Banner, I'll go to him first. But when you looked at the worship team up here, things just didn't start there. Like we just didn't, Kelly just didn't say, hey, can we get a bunch of students together and you guys can play some worship? And they said, yeah, how about this Sunday? Right? They've been working at this for a long time. In fact, we were there when they first started. We're like, really, Lord, can you make sounds out of this, you know? But they worked at it, and they put their time in, and it just didn't start at just with this idea of having them here on a Sunday morning. They lead worship for their students and their generation every single Wednesday. And what an amazing thing to be able to see other students come in and be able to be a part of that. But it just didn't start there. It goes even back further. I mean, you can take a step back to Terry and Natasha and helping out. But, they give gobs of their time to do this. Their volunteers on their team give amazing amounts of their time. I mean, every Wednesday they're showing up and they're faithful. But beyond that, on our staff, you know, when we look at in my life, you know, I oversee the elementary, middle school, and high school. And so I've given hundreds and thousands of hours, too many VBSs to count, and probably 700-800 kids in that time giving their hearts to Jesus. And all those meetings, but it even goes back to Kim and Jamie, and they've invested. In fact, I'll be Exhibit A. You know, I've been going to this church since I was 14 years old. You know, so I mean, they've invested in me and poured into me in my life. And so, when we're talking about generations and raising up generations, we're not raising them up just to be a presence. We're not asking them to come be a show on our stage so we can check off a box in our church and say we have a good youth group. And that's what we want out of our youth group leaders, is we want them to have a good youth group. We want to raise up a generation of young people who are passionate about Jesus, that want to serve him, and are willing to do whatever it takes to go do that in their life. And so how many of you, when you're watching this video, wish you could go back to youth group and go be a part of Project Timothy and go, yeah, well, the good news is you can become part of a team that can help do some of those things. You can serve in our children's ministry. There's a songwriting phrase that they have. Like, if we were getting together with a bunch of your people, like imagine if you're getting together with the Beatles and you got one of their songs and you got to change a word on that song and you got credit for that song. So in the history of time, your name is on that song. But this is a spiritual thing that I'm talking about, that there are spiritual fingerprints all over me that have led me to become the leader that I am today. There's spiritual fingerprints all over our students for the people that have given their lives, but it just doesn't start there. And so let's do this. So I'm going to share a little bit out of Jeremiah, because I feel like Jeremiah is just an important message for our youth. I certainly want to use you both as an example of this in your life. And so I'm going to kind of move back and forth from scripture and talking with them. And so I want to look at, maybe Banner, you can talk a little bit if you don't mind, about what some of your plans are.
Yeah, so starting right after church, I will actually be moving out of my house.
Wait a minute. And after church, you're moving out of your house?
Yeah.
Did you tell your parents this?
Just listen and you'll figure it out.
I'm moving out, Mom and Dad. It's great. I don't know. This might not go the way I wanted it to. So go ahead. Like, yeah. Does he owe you money or something like that? No. Are you him money to leave?
They started charging me rent, so I just figured I'd...
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so I'll be moving out of my house. I will be moving into a place called Ride Nature in downtown Fort Myers. And basically what I'll be doing for the next 6 months is... I'll be going on missions trips. I'll be going across the United States. I'll be going to beaches, skate parks, any place that could potentially get me killed by my own foolishness.
Is that what happens when you skateboard and stuff like
that? Yeah, I mean...
Are you a good skateboarder?
I wasn't prepared for that question.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I mean, I've seen you... You were riding one of those one-wheel things for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And, but yeah, so our goal is just to minister to youth, minister to young adults, maybe even like some old skaters, or I don't know if you guys do that, but
can we have another student up here? I could do a handstand across this floor right now. I tell you, I can skateboard old school. So
okay. So. Anyway, so yeah, our goal is just to minister to people that don't know God or just need to be closer to Him and just to evangelize and spread the word.
So you've had this feeling when did it kind of start? You were kind of feeling this from the Lord?
I got the nudge that something was supposed to happen now last year. So I made the decision like, I had to graduate a year early because, like, there's more for me to do than to just
sit. So you felt an urgency.
Yeah, I felt the urgency.
To finish high school and move out of your house.
Yeah. I felt the urgency of moving out way earlier, but they don't want to hear that.
Parents, would you send some of your teenagers down and maybe he can pray
over
them?
Maybe I'm the wrong person.
Just for the urgency. Dude, I can bring my whole family. We would need that prayer of urgency, so no. So you started feeling some of that from the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, where are you going? You have some other plans, like through Ride Nature. You're going to Costa Rica?
I'll be going to Puerto Rico, actually, again.
Puerto Rico. You're going back to Puerto Rico.
Yes, a little bit north of Mayagüez, where we just were. I'll be going there, doing some surfing.
Your mission is what? What are you doing?
I believe what we'll be doing is...
Because if you're telling me that I can just go serve God and go surfing, that sounds pretty cool. Who's in with me? Who wants to go surf? You know, some of you wanted to raise your hand. They're like, I don't know. But go ahead. So you're going to go... But you're going to do what while you're doing that?
The idea is to host surf and skate competitions and then minister to people through that and have skate churches while these people are all gathered for these events.
So you're saying that there is a mission field that you could go hang out on the most beautiful beaches of the world and... Talk to surfers about Jesus.
I cracked the case. I found it.
Not bad. Not bad. That's good. Well, great. I appreciate that. JL, you can did a great job. And JL, tell us a little bit about what you're thinking that God is saying to you in your life.
So before Project Timothy, I was helping out in the youth group, like attending and helping upstairs, leading worship and helping any place I needed to. But through this, like during worship specifically, I've always felt like I haven't really been, like, a sensitive to the spiritual person. And I always felt like there's, like, something wrong with me. Like, what am I doing wrong? I've never really felt his presence. And then during Project Timothy, we had a night of worship, like, silent worship, where it was other than music, just, like, sitting in prayer and stuff. And I really felt his presence there. And then, like, night after
What does that mean? Like, I felt his presence. I mean, how does that work out into a 14-year-old? What does that mean to feel his presence?
Well, I could just, like... It's like a feeling like you could feel him, or like I could like almost felt like I was called to like pray for people.
Okay, so it was more than just like having a moment in worship. You felt like a weight a little bit maybe on you that God was doing something. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So then, like, during that week, I was just, like, ministering to people during our, like, prayer time after worship.
So you're walking up and praying for them. Were you, like, giving them words and stuff like that?
Mostly prayers are, like, phrases. I don't really get, like, words, but, like, phrases in my prayers.
Oh, that's cool. So, you know, it's like, some people, when you say, do you hear God? Like, some people see pictures. Like, somebody else say, I saw a picture of you, or they'll think of a song, or they'll think of this moment in their life. And so God speaks to us in a lot of different ways, and so he kind of gives you phrases. So, cool. Well, give you don't have to give a name, but, like, what was some thing that you that God gave
you?
Well,
I was praying for this person. I just felt like that person, like, didn't feel this person too, and that I was just said, like, he sees you.
Mm. How important do you think that is for a student in this world and in this day with everything that they're facing? You know, they call this next generation the always-on generation, because they have access to everything all the time. They will learn more by the time they're 18 years old, or take in more by the time they're 18 than I have taken in my whole life. Because they are because they have access to so much information in their life. And so it's no wonder that our students are overwhelmed. It's no wonder that our students feel more anxiety than they've ever felt, because they're facing much greater battles in such a shorter period of time. In fact, one of the things I was just reading the other day, and when you look at our youth and how they have access, one of the caveats that's with it is that they become less patient in digging in to what the real things are in their life, because they want everything to be super quick. And if something isn't super quick, it's really hard to go do, because they'll just change it and go do whatever is easier and quick. So you gave them, so that word was?
God sees you.
God sees you. And what did that mean to them?
Well, I think it just, like, I felt like I was sitting there. I was like, I don't feel his presence. Like, everybody else was, like, crying in the room. I'm just like, I don't feel him. And then I looked over and I saw someone, and they looked like they were feeling the same as me. So I just went over and I prayed for them, and they started crying. Because, like, they felt his presence, and I came back and I started crying because I felt his presence after that.
Well, good. That's good. So you would, so you hear God, but you necessarily don't feel him move that way in your life. So, but man, for 14 years old, being able to hear God and see God, it's really kind of, we're doing this series, our foundation, our building our homes on the rock. And this idea here, if this was a foundational thing for this message, is that it's important, parents, families, church, individual, that this is an important foundational thing for all of us. Certainly it was the theme. Well, let me quiz you to see if we can figure out what it was. What was a common theme you heard in all the videos? Somebody raise your hand. Remember, mine's the right answer. You might have a good answer, but mine's the right answer. What was it? Leadership. Okay, leadership. That is a great answer. Not the one I'm looking for, but go over here. What's it? Fire, yes, that's a good answer. No, not the one, but there is a fire in them that you can see.
Inspiration.
Yes, Rick.
Vulnerability.
Seeking more of the Lord, which requires what?
Being in his presence.
Being in his presence. What else?
Listening.
And what is listening? Hearing. In fact, if you go back to in the New Testament, and Jesus is talking about, he says, let me ask you, do you think it's my sheep hear my voice, or do you think it's my sheep listen to my voice? So who's here? Who's here? If you think it's here, my sheep hear my voice. Hearing is not listening. Parents, you have teenagers. Do they hear you? Do they listen to you? Sometimes, right? No, but his sheep listen to his voice. And there's no greater thing that we can equip our students with at this stage of their life than to listen to the heart of God in their life and to know what God has plans for them. So it's going to bring me to this. I want to share just a little bit out of Jeremiah. But it's really a foundational thing for all of us, that if we can hear the Lord in our life. Now, you might hear God like JL did. Or you might hear God and uniquely the way that God speaks to you. You could hear God just by reading his word. Amen. And because it's the truth, you're hearing God. It doesn't take some supernatural thing. We can take the scripture for what it is. But like she did, she went on, you went a little bit further. You made yourself vulnerable. You went over and prayed for somebody, they prayed for you, and then you experienced an emotion. I imagine crying for that time in your life was pretty powerful for your relationship with God. Yeah.
It was like the first time ever.
Her first time ever feeling that. Wow. So let me just share in Jeremiah real quick, and then we're going to do some other things here. Don't let me forget, because you really didn't share where you wanted to go and what you're going to do. So I'll get done with that, and we'll come back to that. So here's Jeremiah. Jeremiah is, anybody know how old he is when he first started, and God started to use him? Some of you were in the first service, which means you were listening. So, Banner, how old are you?
17.
How old do you think Jeremiah was? 17. It's easy answers. I'm not going to ask you, but he's 17 years old. And I asked my son Dominic on the way to church today, I looked at him and I said, Dominic, what if you got up this morning and God showed up and he gave you a word for the United States of America? And he was like, I don't know. I don't want that pressure. I wouldn't want that pressure either. But can you imagine if God put on your heart a word for the United States of America, for a nation, right? And your son or my son, he comes back to me, or you go, your son or daughter comes home to you, and they said, Dad, Mom, I think I got a word for the United States of America. What is your response to them? What do you think people's response to them would be in this day, in this world? Because everybody has an opinion. Everybody thinks they hear God. Everybody thinks that some people don't, they're not trying to hear God. They're just telling you their opinion. But here you have this word that you feel is from God. What do you think are some of the things that they might face from people if they felt that passionate about something that God told them? What do you think, JL? How do you think they would be received?
I think they would kind of be received as, like, weird.
It'd be kind of weird?
Because people, like, the youth is, like, so disconnected from God, and they're just going, like, the flow, and they don't really like authority.
What about you? You can hand them the mic, too. You guys got to share a mic, so.
I think it'd just be, like, pure just ridicule and chaos. And, I mean, like, there's so many opinions out there. And why is mine right, you know? Who's going to believe that?
But Jeremiah gets a calling from the Lord to reach his nation. And God begins to move in his life at 17 years old. He's one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. And he starts at 17. There's so many of our great leaders throughout the Old Testament who were young. David was young. Samuel was young. Many more. But here's Jeremiah. And I can't imagine the weight on Jeremiah with God calling him. I imagine it was probably a lot like you felt. Right? I feel like I'm supposed to go do this thing with Ride Nature. I don't know. I just know in my heart. And here's Jeremiah. He's feeling some of these things. Here, pass that mic, guys. What did you feel God is calling you to do?
Okay, so I think God is calling me to, like, minister or, like, counseling, like, personal, other than, like, on a stage.
Right. You might hear, schedule an appointment later. I mean, she could pray for you. You might start crying. She might give that to you right away. And any other things? Like, you work in our kids' ministry, don't you? And you do the worship up there, and you feel calling there to help. And she's been faithful, 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 faithful. I'll even throw out one more faithful and showing up every week and every month and every year that she's been doing this and giving her time. And she was leading our kids while she was there in it. And so you have some of those sense. But here's Jeremiah. God's put this calling in his life, and God wants to impart something for him. Now, he went on to live about 75 years old, and during that time, if you read Jeremiah, I challenge you to go look at that and find every time in Jeremiah he says, and the Lord said to Jeremiah, and the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Now, just because God called Jeremiah to the nation didn't mean that the people listened to him. In fact, they didn't listen to him. And you can feel it in times in your calling and in your life. And maybe some of you adults can feel like that in your life. Maybe you're doubting the things that are in your, you know, did I choose the right career? I mean, was that a great idea to have kids? Oh man, I don't know. But there are so many things that we begin to doubt ourselves because the enemy wants to put something inside of you that makes you doubt what God is doing in you. And if he can cause you to doubt what is doing in you, in fact, I would say for most of our students, if he can do that in them at this stage of their life, it could take them years of their life, maybe even later in their life. I think there's probably some in you here in the room that you started out in Sunday school loving Jesus, and somehow later in your 50s, you're coming back to the Lord, and you're like, man, where did the middle of my whole life go? And if the enemy can do that in their life at this, he can delay God's plans in their life for so long. Now, I learned this, you guys, and I want you to know this, and I want you guys to know this too, that in seminary, they taught us this. They said that people can delay God's plans, but we cannot subvert them. The things that I could do things right now as a pastor. I could make a decision today that would keep me from being a pastor. If I made a bad decision in my life and did something wrong or something like that. But it's not going to mean that God is not going to pick me up where I'm at and finish that in my life. Now, we can delay God's plans, but I think the thing that would be the hardest for most of our students is I don't want you both or any of you students to have to wait 20 years to figure out what God wants to do in your life. And so here is Jeremiah, and he's got the weight of the nation on his shoulders, that God is going to use him to change their lives and hold them accountable and offer them mercy and help them and lead them in so many different ways. But God wants to give Jeremiah something that I think he wants to give us today, because remember, our principle here is that we want to be able to hear God. I want our students to hear God. I want our elementary kids to hear God. I want our young adults to hear God. I want our 30-somethings to hear God and right up onto the gray hairs and no hairs. I want you to hear God. God put you in your generation, and you're going to see this in a second, that God placed you at the period of time that he had you born, not because you were some accident, not because you didn't know, because he had a purpose for you. And I want you to discover that today, whether you're 14 or whether you're 78 or 80, or I don't know who the oldest person is. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. Don't tell on yourself. But I want you to know that you can hear God in the same way that Banner and JL are going to hear God, and that it's talking about in Jeremiah. So look at this. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. Who's that? Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is doing what in this moment?
Listening.
He's listening. All right. Sometimes you have to go beyond listening and you have to speak. You just can't listen to God. Sometimes he gives you a word, and then in his case, he's going to speak a lot on behalf of God. But look what God wants to give him in this moment. This is at the beginning of his journey. God wants to instill him in this. It says, before I formed you in the womb. So when is that? I mean, how do you, before you were born, before you were thought of, what does it say? 1, 2, 3.
I knew you.
Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. To know, he knows us. He knew who Banner was going to be. He knew his likes. He knew his dislikes. You know, do you like broccoli? So did you used to like broccoli?
No.
No, okay. He knew you didn't like broccoli, but he's working on you. But he knows your dislikes. He knows what makes you angry. He knew your personality. He knew everything about you. And the fact that it's hard to understand that God had this in mind for you, that he has this whole plan in front of you. But he wants Jeremiah to see this. Jeremiah, have confidence in me. Before you were born, I knew you. Before you were born, I saw you. Before you were born, I knew how many hairs were on your head. I knew everything about you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Can you imagine? Can you make that personal for you? I know it's good to look at them, but this is what I'm talking about. This is, I love all in messages. It's not just about the youth. It's about wherever you're at in your life. But can you, and you might have to answer to God why you wasted all these years. And that's okay. He has mercy for you. But you can start in this moment right now with the same passion and zeal that JL and Banner have and our youth are having, trying to discover what God's plans for in their life. But he wants them to have this to hold on to in their life because of why? Why would he want Jeremiah to know this? Why does he start out Jeremiah's ministry wanting him to know this? Somebody help me out. Why would he want him to know that? Because he has a purpose, okay? It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be difficult. Agree with me? Is life difficult? Does it throw you challenges? Do things work out the way that you didn't expect them to? All the time. All the time in our life. And if we can help in this moment for our youth, it's to help equip them with hearing God, because in the same way that God wanted Jeremiah to know, you need to know this first, so that later you'll remember when you're discouraged and you'll remember when it's hard. In fact, if you go to Jeremiah 29:11, which is a very, very, very common scripture that most youth will grab a hold of. Do you know Jeremiah 29:11? No? Do you know it's in Jeremiah? Yeah, okay, good. So Jeremiah 29:11 is often, it's a very common verse, and it says, let me see if I can find it here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So if you listen to him, what does he do with you? What did he just say he would do? He listens to you. You know God listens to you? He mostly listens to us complain and gripe. But when every now and then when we have a moment with him and we're listening to him, he wants to hear from us too. He cares about what's on your heart. He cares about what's in your heart and your desires. He cares that what you like to do, and he wants to help you in that. But he says, I'm going to give you plans for you. I have plans to not harm you or hurt you, but plans. He wants to see you succeed. But if you got to be able to listen to him, and he'll listen to you in those things. But this is actually towards the end of Jeremiah's life. God was even reminding Jeremiah through all of those circumstances, because all those the Lord said were different seasons of his life, all the way through the up to the end of his life. And so I can share with you that God knew you. He knows you. He had his plans for you. He's going to send you out. And check this out, Banner. There are people, surfers on a beach somewhere right now, that he has set aside for you to talk to. Does that stir a little anticipation?
Yeah.
Good answer. Good answer. Is the pressure on you? Or is it on the Lord? But how do you feel? Does that make you feel more anxious? Does it make you feel?
Makes me feel, I guess, curious and ready for it. And
will you go with some different eyes?
Yeah.
Here, hand the mic to JL. So for you, God has. If you're going to do family counseling or do something, some kind of biblical counseling, there are people already that he said that he's going to put inside of you that one day you'll be sitting with. He knew that. And he put this in your life. Your gifting isn't for you. Your gifting is for others. Amen. Your gifting is for his church. Your gifting, he wants to use us I can't remember, I can't give him credit for it because I can't remember. He says, but we're changing God's pocket, and he gets to spend us how he wants. And some of you got to learn how to take that risk and let him spend you how you want. Why we have our two youth here that are willing to let God spend them how he wants. Even though they don't have the answers. And he knows that there's going to be students. In fact, why don't you bring them in? She's been so patient with me. She's been looking at me going, when are you going to bring the little kids in? So do me a favor. Let's welcome our little kids into the service. Come on. Come on. And so I've asked them to bring them in because I want to do something unique for them. And I want to pray. I want to read this to you for you guys. What God gave Jeremiah. And we want them to know that God has a calling and a plan on their life. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to hear that for yourself. And so, yeah, come on in. Come on in. Thanks for being patient with Pastor Charles. I saw you all over there. Jamie was giving me the side eye. Anytime. But these are our elementary kids, and parents, thank you for getting up on Sunday morning and bringing them and hanging out with us. And we want them to know that Jesus loves them, Jesus cares about them, and he has a plan for their life. And so here's what I want to do. I want to just read this, but I want to go back to Jeremiah. I get back to Jeremiah 1. But we've been talking in Jeremiah, kids, and Jeremiah was this guy who God spoke to, and he gave him words for people, for his nation. And so Jeremiah was only 17 years old when he started, and so God put his calling in his life. And so God spoke some pretty incredible things to Jeremiah, and I want to share those as a covering over our youth. Wouldn't that be great that they could know that God knew them and knows them, and that they could know that he knew them and knows them, and that they could have confidence walking out these doors and walking into a school, facing the things that they have to look at and hear every single day of their life, that will give them the direction that they need, that will help them face the future, even as bleak as we make it sometimes as older people. And so, you know, but God is going to do some incredible things with them. This is, as Terry was trying to tell you, this isn't the church we're going to give our church to. They're already here. Yes. Amen. They're already leading. Amen. They're serving. They're doing the camera. They were greeting at the door. They're cooking in the kitchen. They're serving outside. They're sharing messages with each other. They're leading Bible studies. They're not far off from us. And we have this generational approach that, like Natasha was saying, we reach back. I'm reaching back. I'm on the other side. I'm on the older side. I'm reaching back. Some of you I can reach forward to, which is great. But we're reaching back and reaching forward at the same time. And being a generational church is not easy because maybe the worship doesn't sound like you like it. Maybe it doesn't look like you want it to be. But we have to learn that we're a big family, and big families hang out together. Big families can get on each other's nerves, and big families can have to do all those things. But when one of us succeed, we all succeed. Amen. And one of us fails, we all fail. Amen. But I don't want it to be out of ignorance that we don't offer our kids a blessing. And I want to pray that God would put this blessing on them. So here, church, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to get Natasha and Terry come out. I want you to pray over JL and Banner, and as we're doing this. But I also want you guys to just stretch out your hands. Do me a favor. I want all my students to stand up. So if you're 25 and under, stand up. You're standing? You're standing? Nice try. Nice try. The rest of you, I want you to reach your hands out. And I want you, and you can do what I did last night with my daughter. And I got to pray with her in a much different way than I've ever prayed with her before. I wanted her to know that God knew her. That he knows what she needs in her life. And it was such a powerful sense of hope for me and for her. But the Lord told Jeremiah, and he tells you the same thing. Before I knew you in the womb, in mommy's tummy, he says he knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And what that means is God just wants you to be his voice. He wants you to have courage to share your faith. And if it takes you to the nations, great. If it takes you to your elementary school and you get to share with your kids and invite them to church, great. If it takes you to your college and you'll be able to lead kids to Jesus that are struggling in their way, fantastic. If it takes you to a beach in Puerto Rico where you're reaching kids and people that are far from you and you've never met your life, fantastic. If it takes you to the nations and you stand on a stage someday and you're able to proclaim God's goodness, great, let's make that happen. But Lord, will you just let them know right now in Jesus' name that you love them and you care for them and you want them to do well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, kids, I want you to turn around, and adults, I want you to stand up. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to hear God here and to be blessed by him, because maybe some of you have taken some of that time and you haven't given the time to the Lord that he wants in your life. And so I want them to reach their hands out over you. And that means you put your hands out in front of you to receive something from the Lord. That's all that is. It's not like some spiritual antenna. So you don't need to put one leg up and one hand up. It's just, I need you, Lord. Sometimes you got to tell your heart to listen. So Lord, wherever people are at right now in their life, how long they've served you, how long that they've known you, that doesn't matter here, Lord. No matter what's been done in the past, I pray the grace of God over them. I pray that they would be able to see in a fresh way the mission that you have, that you knew them before they were born, that you cared about them. You knew the plans that you had for them. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would take away what the enemy has done right now to hide from them what God has called them to do. And receive that. He's been wanting this moment with you for a long time. Receive, ask him. God, I want to hear you. Help me listen to you, Lord. Help me be obedient to what I hear. Help me to trust you. Trust me with your word, God, that I could be a better light to my family and friends. That I could see your kingdom come in our children's lives. That our lives would be a beacon of hope for those around us. Some of you need to go home and put your hand on your door and just pray, God, will you come inside with me? Will you be in my home? Will you lead my conversations? Will you help me be kind to my family? And God will do it, but you're going to have to be willing to listen.